How many's ready to move into the move of God? He's got to move. He's moving around the world. How many know God is moving around the world? The Spirit of God is moving around the world. And I'm grateful that we have missions. Mission was a heavy emphasis at Peace Chapel under the Blances Ministries and our home church. And it's just something that's natural. I think it is the key that turns the, I think it's the key that turns the atmosphere. It pleases God. It blesses God. And when you bless God, God will in turn send the harvest to you. And so I want us to look real briefly at this. It's Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. That is our series text. The first week we talked about moving into freedom, 4th of July weekend, and God blessed some people. The second week, last week, I tried to preach, but the Holy Spirit wanted to move. And you opened your heart, and you let Him move, and I let Him move, and He moved. How many know if we'll get out of the way, the Holy Spirit will do His work? It's kind of a partnership, but this is what Isaiah said. He said, don't remember the former things of old, nor consider the things of old. He said, but behold, I will do a new thing. Somebody shout, new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. That's not an option. That is not a doubt. There's not a maybe. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, it's going to happen whether you know it or not. So you might as well get a clue, amen, and move into it. And I will even, listen to what he said, I will even, God will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He will do what you least expect him to do. He will do what you can't think he can do. How many know our God can do exceeding abundantly above what you can ever ask or imagine? A road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, doesn't happen. But we are a church on the move. And we are, God is moving. And so it's important that you get this mission. We are on a mission with God. I want to give you this text. It is another agricultural text. Last week, Matthew chapter 13 and 22, sowing the seed. And remember, the world and the issues of the world came and choked out the seed. And so even though there was a plant there, it was not productive. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to shake off anything that grabs a hold of me so I can be productive in the kingdom. I want God to use me. How about you? And you can, God can use you. But here's another agricultural text right out of Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. And there's a lot of God's people sitting around waiting for the perfect opportunity for everything to be perfect before they start sowing seed. God's word for us today is start moving in the mission now. Don't sit around and wait for whatever, the weather to be good. And then he said, if they watch every cloud, they'll never harvest. So if you sit around waiting for a cloud, oh, there's a cloud in the sky. We can't harvest today. And there's a lot of people putting off what God wants to you to do today. Now, that's why the word of God in Isaiah 43 said, now he's going to move. And you need to move into it with him. And so that's our text. I don't know if I have anything beyond that. It's just God wanting to move. And if you understand this text, it's time to move in the ministry, in the kingdom. God's going to make a way. He's got an over-the-top blessing waiting on your move. It's time to move. I believe God has a plan. He has a destiny, not only for our church. I said he has a destiny and a plan for your life personally. Those of you going to college, God has a plan. You don't wait while you're in college to get involved. Listen, you can get involved on the campus. Somebody's waiting in Kentucky. Somebody's waiting in Branson. How many know God has a plan? He wants to use you. Don't wait for the perfect circumstance. Let God use you now. Now the new thing is going to spring forth. And so it's going to happen now because of a couple of reasons. Number one, the eternal clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. How many thinks we're closer to the Lord's return than we were yesterday? It's happening. Things are lining up. It's accelerating. You can look at the weather and tell, but you don't wait for good weather. You don't sit around waiting. You got to start sowing seed now. You heard Leslie say, man, pastor started sowing seed. Listen, we started sowing seed. Melissa was a soul-winning machine when we first got saved. There was no one that was not a candidate to be saved. And you know, there's a lot of people who appear to be saved, pretend to be saved, but you got to get into their life. You got to start sowing seed. You got to get to know them. You got to start investing. You got to make a relationship with somebody. You can't just sit around waiting for the perfect opportunity. Strike while the iron's hot. Let's get involved in the kingdom. It's exciting, but the time is ticking. And we're at the end of the age, and whatever we do, how many know we got to do it now? I said it's time to do it now. Move now while you can. Work while it is day, for night comes when nobody can work. Redeeming the time, Paul says, for the days are evil. And so we know also Satan knows the time is short. Satan knows his time is short. So two last days prophecies. Number one, God's Spirit is going to be poured out all over the world. And the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Are you hearing me? It's going to happen. It's already spoken. God has spoken, and His Spirit is moving. Every 30 seconds, a church is planted in Africa somewhere in the Assemblies of God alone. How many know God's on the move? When the nickels get back to Thailand, they're going to pick up where they left off. They're going to keep on sowing seed, keep on pulling weeds. We're going to win the world, but you got to start now. Somebody shout now. Now is the time to move. Can't wait. You got to move now. And so Satan knows his time is short. He's up in the ante, so to speak. While he starts doing his work, the church seems to be sleeping instead of reaping. Instead of praying, the church seems to be straying. I'm talking about the big church. I mean, no, we need to get serious about the last days. At the same time that the Spirit is moving, that there's also a great falling away. That's the second last days prophecy. And they're happening simultaneously. They're both going on at the same time. But where sin abounds, somebody help me preach this morning. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Don't worry about what's happening out there. It's time to move now. Move into what? Move into your mission. It's time to move into your mission. Who else is going to do it? God has a plan for your life. Say, Pastor, I just don't have, you know, you're all sweating and shouting and sing, you know, you get all excited. I wish you could have seen me in 1990. Pastor, let me preach my first sermon at the John 3:16 Assembly of God Church in Mexico, okay? And I got my message ready. I had a black notebook. CBC taught me how to get 3 points in a poem. And he dropped me off of the van. I went into this building. It was a cinder block building, had no doors and had no windows, kind of just a structure, no electricity. And they let Pastor introduce me. And so he said, good morning. And the interpreter said, buenos dias. He said, it's good to be with you. And the interpreter said, mucho gusto, whatever. I don't even know how to speak Spanish, but you understand. It looked like he had fuego. Más fuego. He was on fire. But somehow when I got the pulpit, well, something happened. I think a bumblebee came in through the window and stung the guy in the middle of the forehead. So I said, good morning. And he said, bueno dia. I said, wait a minute. I need a new interrupter. This one went bad. So, hey, if you don't feel like you have the goods, join the rest of us. Jesus didn't pick the 12 because they were the brightest and the best. He picked them because they were available and they wanted to move right now. When Jesus said, follow me, they dropped their nets. Matthew dropped his pen and his tax collecting business, and he took off following Jesus. He's not waiting. He don't want us to sit around and wait. He wants us to watch and pray and work until he comes. He wants us to occupy. And I want you to see this. It's time because it's a co-mission. Not just a mission. It's a co-mission. That word co means partnership. He's not sending us into the kingdom work, abandoning us. He's saying, hey, I'll go with you even to the ends of the earth. So if you're concerned, if you're scared, you're feeling unworthy, put all that aside. I mean, it's a new day. The former things are gone. God has something new for you. Who is going to be the person this year? You got a half a year left. Who is it in 6 months you're going to be able to speak life into? Say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. I don't have credentials. Hey, you don't have to have a card in your pocket to be a missionary. You can be in the ministry. You can go out and share Jesus. I said, everybody's capable of hearing. It stands for partnership, cooperation, unity. God's not giving us a mission that he's not part of. And so you're not alone. Step out, step up, and tell somebody about Jesus. Say, that's my mission? Yes. That's called the great commission. It's called the great commission. You're partnering with God, and when God gives the mission, he gives the plan. And it's easy to talk about, it's easy to confess it, it's easy to preach, it's even easy to believe it. But there comes a time when you have to move, to get up and move into it, or else people will die and go straight to hell. Without a vision, people perish. If you don't have a vision, if you don't have something waking you up in the morning, if you don't have a burden for lost humanity, you're not going to be able to motivate. But the Holy Spirit wants to move you. Amen? It means moving out of your place of complacency, your place of comfort, security, familiarity. You got to move. Somebody shout, move. It's time to move into your new place, into your new thing. You don't have to leave the church. You don't have to leave the country. Some people will, but you have to move. In Louisiana, it's hot and humid, and they got cockroaches bigger than your head. I guess in Thailand and other places around the world, they have them too. You turn on the lights, man, they everywhere. But let me tell you something. If one is laying upside down with his legs straight in the air, you don't have to worry about doing an autopsy. It's dead. And dead things don't move. But I came to tell you, Oak Grove, she is not dead. She is very much alive. I said, the church is alive and she should be moving. You're not called to sit around, check the weather, watch the clouds. I'll move if, I'll move when the conditions are perfect. The conditions not gonna hinder the commission. The commission's a commission whether the condition's perfect or not. That's what the text is about. Man, Jesus was the first missionary. He moved out of heaven and down to earth. How many glad Jesus made the move? Anybody here grateful Jesus made a move? He made a move into the nativity. He made a move to Gethsemane. He made a move to Calvary. I said he made a move to the tomb, and he made a move right out of the tomb. And when he made his move back to heaven, now you and I can make a move. His last thing he told the disciples, hey, I'm going back. Don't worry, I will be back. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but listen. While I'm gone, you need to be getting busy. I got a mission for you. I've got something for you to do. And so he moved. And look at Abraham real quick. God had a plan for Abraham that involved seeding the Jewish nation, fathering the nation of Israel. What a purpose, what a plan. I mean, not everybody's called to father a nation, but Abraham was. And God gave him promises. Two promises followed the one command. I will make you a great nation. I mean, God wants to make you a great people, a great church. He wants to make his name great in this area. And he's calling us to step up and step out and move into it. That was the first. I'll make you a great nation. The second promise was, I will bless you. And watch this. Anyone who blesses you, I will bless. Anybody who curses you, I will curse. Can I tell you, I pity the poor fool who starts messing with Oak Grove Assembly. Last week, how many felt the attack last week during worship? We were trying to worship our Jesus, and all of a sudden there was a battle started going, and you started praying and praising, and you praised right through it. Let me tell you how to win the battle. Keep on moving. Keep on praising. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on going, because God's going to bless you, and he'll stiff-arm the enemy who's trying to hinder you. This is not hard. Can somebody shout amen? God's got a plan. I said, God's got a plan, and he's going to use you. So the plan was to move now into your mission. What mission? I'll tell you when you arrive. How about that? God gives you a plan, and he says, what's the plan? And God says, well, I don't know. So he had to go home and tell Sarah, honey, pack your bag. She said, oh, boy, where are we going? Where's the brochure of the destination? Is it the Caribbean? No, I don't have that. No, God told me he used one word, leave. You know what leave means? It means move. It means move. Anybody in here ever moved? Anybody right now moving? There's a family. How many know it's not easy to move? There's a family. And some of you are moving to, you know, Kentucky. That's a move. It's not easy to move. But you got to get it. Got to do it now. Because God has a plan. He said, Sarah, pack it up. Remember a few months ago, I gave a word from the Lord. It said, God says, pack your bags. Pack for I don't know. Because God says, go. Remember that? It's all I had. So I give whatever I had. God says, pack for I don't know. Because God says, go. It's a commission. It's not a suggestion. And it's time to move into the mission. This is the moment when you actually get up and step out into the unknown. There's a new thing coming your way. And he said, pack it up, because I'm sending you. It's time. So if you're going to wait until all your questions are answered, you're never going to get it in gear. It's just not going to happen. Farmer doesn't sit around and wait. Yes, they have droughts they deal with. Yes, they have to deal with bugs. Of course, they have to pull weeds. Yes, they have to toil the soil. They have to, you know, turn the soil and get ready. There's a lot of work to do. And God is ready to bring the harvest, but you can't just keep looking at the clouds. Are you waiting for some perfect situation? In New York, they would say, forget about it. Just forget about it. It ain't going to happen. So our text said, wait for the perfect weather. You'll never plant the seed. And they watch the cloud, and they never get the harvest. So I'm telling you this morning, quit saying 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is ready. It's white. Pick it. Pick it now. What happens, Pastor, if I don't pick it now? Why the urgency? What's the urgency? What's the rush? Well, the crop is going to rot. It's got to be picked. You don't pick the cotton now, it's going to rot on the... And I tell you, if we don't move now, lives are going to be at stake. Eternally, eternally. I'm going to skip over Peter, get down to the meat of this. I had the Lord put this on my heart. Sorry, Peter, you can walk on water next week. But I just want to tell you about this last one, Rebecca at the well. I got 10 minutes. Abraham's servant, Eliezer, came looking for a bride for Isaac. Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac is top type of God the Son, Jesus, our bridegroom. And the church is a type of the bride. Rebecca, are you hearing me? And the Holy Spirit is typified by Eliezer, the servant, friend of the bridegroom and the father of the bride. So Rebecca, God, the Word of God says in Genesis that Eliezer prayed behind the bushes, waiting for the perfect person, waiting for that person for Isaac. And Rebecca came to the well with a 2.5-gallon pitcher of water. I didn't bring my pitcher. I should have brought it. I want you to catch this because it's serious. And she was willing whenever Eliezer said, would you give me a drink of water? She was willing to go into the well and get him a drink of water. But in the well, you understand, some wells back in those days, they had as many as 100 steps down. I don't know how deep the well was, but she went with a 2.5-gallon pitcher down into the well and got water and came back up to bring it to her house. But Eliezer needed a drink, so she gave him a drink, maybe even another, but still had some water in the pitcher. So she said, hey, do you mind if I water your camel? Maybe she didn't want to drink after the stranger. I don't know why. I do know God is in charge of all things. And I think she caught God's attention. Willing to make herself available to water the camels. So what does that mean, Pastor? Well, he had 10 camels. Read the text. 10 camels. Each camel, maybe you don't know camelology. So let me give you a little bit of camelology. Each camel has two stomachs. Each stomach contains 14 gallons of water, so they can make the trek across the desert. She has a 2.5-gallon pitcher, Brady. She has a 2.5-gallon pitcher of water. When she said yes, what she didn't know was the reward for serving Eliezer. She had no idea about getting this husband and the dowry she's about to get. She had no idea about the new thing and the blessing she's about to move into. But she said, I'll water your camel. So 100 steps down, 2.5, I'm not really good at math, but 2.5 gallons of water down, up into the trough, down, up into the trough. I'm not doing it 100 times, but that's 280 gallons of water. I wish somebody helped the pastor preach this morning. That's a whole lot of ministry. 280 gallons of water. But she didn't know. She did it because she was available. She did it because she had generosity. And she was available to serve the stranger because she's a person of Yahweh. And the command is to take care of the strangers that come your way. She was willing to move into the mission, but she didn't know how much ministry it would take. Can I tell you? Just because you move doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Hey, this thing called ministry, it's a high calling. Can you say amen? It's a privilege to be part of the body of Christ and to use your gifts for God. We're not here to be jealous. Can I say, I'm not jealous over the evangelist who gets to preach and every preacher, you're going to hell or you get saved. They run and they cry. I got to preach every week and you don't run or cry. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But I'm not here to compare myself with an evangelist. I'm here to say God called me to be the pastor. So I'm going to be the best pastor I can be. Don't have to compare yourself with somebody else. The evangelist always says that the pastor doesn't evangelize. The missionary says that nobody's doing missions. Everybody's got their own thing. But how many know God calls everyone, and everyone in Oak Grove is valuable. You have a ministry. Move into it. Well, I don't know what it is, Pastor. Find out. Find out what's easy for you. Find out what's easy for you. You know what's easy for me? To talk to people. Pastor, I'm horrified. Well, hey, we're probably not going to put you in the foyer then. It's not hard. If it takes you till noon to put a smile on your face, you're probably not going to be a greeter. It's not hard, but doesn't mean you're exempt from the kingdom. God has a place for you. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's going. Maybe it's telling. But don't be jealous. Come on, say amen. God can help. Everybody can get involved. But what you don't want to do is look around, as God loves to elevate people, but not people with an attitude. If you have this attitude that says, I didn't sign up for that. It's too hot. I'm too tired. It's too busy. I ain't involved in that. Listen. Then you'll sit there and rot. But God's going to use somebody. Can you say amen to that? He's going to use somebody. And no, when you move, you're moving into something without, leave your attitude behind. Amen? So, well, I can't be on the platform. Do you really want to be on the platform? Do you really want to be the pastor? Maybe you don't know what it all means. It's not just public ministry. There's a whole lot of, I know we make it look easy, but how many know, to the level of you, to the degree of your anointing comes the degree of your battle. There's a battle. That's why a lot of people sit back and say, the perfect circumstances are not here. I'm not getting involved. And I'm here to tell you, you're missing out on a new thing. You're missing out on moving into God's blessing and His best. Yes, it's a high calling, but it's also a hard calling. But doesn't mean you're exempt. What God wants to do is bring His glory. But you have to be willing to sacrifice. And she, Rebecca, was willing to pay the price.